All right. What I thought we'd do today is we're going to read the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. And what impresses me to capitalize the thought that I had after reviewing this, this explains what God has done, is doing, and will do for us through and in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine covering all that in one chapter?
Well, Ephesians is very powerful.
I know. It's amazing. So let me just start out here. We're just going to simply read it, and we'll stop and chat about different things that we see. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. So, being an apostle, what does that mean, to be an apostle? Is it different from a teacher or an evangelist or one of the other five gift ministries that is talked about later in the book? Anybody have an idea what an apostle is? Yeah, he brings new light to his generation, where an apostle can be in the next generation, in the next generation. It doesn't have to be only one apostle ever. Another thing that you see in apostles is a real strong backbone to keep the integrity of the word in place, because they're very confident in the word that God has revealed to them. And so that is his job, is to proclaim what the new light is. He has to stay faithful to it. The apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. You cannot become an apostle or any of the other gift ministries by our own will. It has to be a gift to the church from God. We cannot aspire to become one. We cannot ask God to become one. It doesn't happen that way. And you can't go to school to become one, which is another thought. You know, you can learn to become one. And it just isn't that way. It's either God chooses you to do that and then pronounces it to the church, or we are all pretty darn blessed being believers. And we can all do the work of any of those. If there's the need for an apostle and there's not an apostle present, we can do the work of an apostle. God can bless that. But to be an apostle is by the will of God. To the saints which are at Ephesus, so that's who the letter is originally written to, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
That's us.
That's why we chose the name that we use for this ministry, Faithful in Christ Ministries. It's from this verse. And it's the identified as the faithful in Christ Jesus, as the ones that are staying faithful to the gospel that Paul preached. Okay, it's in the context of him being an apostle. And so the faithful are those that are faithful to the gospel that he preached. Grace be unto you and peace. And many of the epistles start out that way, grace and peace. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. How important is grace and peace to be understood, do you think?
Basically.
It's kind of basic to our Christian experience, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, there were words in the law.
Yeah.
Right.
The law does not give grace and peace. Do you see the contrast?
Yeah.
The law gives a whole lot of instruction. And the law is not bad. If you don't have the Spirit, you need something to instruct you how to live. But now that we have the Spirit, Holy Spirit within each one of us, the thing that God concentrates on now is for us to know what it means to walk in grace and to have that peace that comes with having the Spirit dwelling in us. That is a big challenge for us in the world. living in the world, the adversary just wants to make everything very, very complicated and very unpeaceful. And to think that we can take the burden of life and living on our own shoulders. Isn't that amazing? That we have to take God's job onto us. Somehow, you know, I have a need and I'm the one that has to take care of it. Well, God says he's going to take care of our needs.
Mm-hmm.
According to what standard?
Yeah. His riches and glory.
Which has no end. There is no finish to his riches and glory. So if he's going to meet our needs according to that, we have to be prepared to accept it and to accept that we are very limited in what we can do. That's walking in grace. And of course, peace comes when we realize that. When we realize that we have grace, then we can stop the struggle. We can stop thinking that it is up to me alone. And that is especially true for the apostles and the other people that serve God's people, because that's the one temptation for servants, is that they take not only their responsibilities that God gives, but they also try to take on what God says he's responsible for. And we were talking on the way back home, and we're just lying in bed, and we're talking about what it means to work with people with their lives. And you cannot make anybody do anything.
Okay.
You can't make anybody do anything. And I can't order anybody around. None of you, I don't pay any of you. You know, when we work for somebody, then they have the right to say, well, I'll go do this now. But I don't pay any of you, and you don't work for me. But you do work for God. And the best that any servant of God can do is inspire in people a way to do it. To believe. To help them believe that God's going to work in their lives and that they'll have an abundance of grace. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Has he already done that?
Yeah.
So that's what he has already done.
Yeah.
This is what God has already done. He's not finished doing it either.
Right.
He's not done with it, but he has certainly begun doing it. And in his eyes, it's a done deal. And when God does something, he doesn't come back later and go, well, you kind of messed up today. You didn't walk according to what I want you to do today, and so therefore some of those blessings are being taken back.
No.
No, those blessings have been given. He has blessed us already. And they were all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That means it's not of the world. It didn't come from the world. It came from heavenly places, that which is God's domain. And then in Christ. Without Christ, none of this is possible. None of it. And that word Christ is there for a specific reason, because Christ indicates what God has given him in power and authority. Jesus is the man. Christ is his authority. And so because of the authority that God gave him and blessed him with, now all these other things are available to us. And so it is in or through Christ. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him, he, God, hath chosen us in him, God, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, God, in love. Right? What does it mean to be holy?
Pure.
Yeah, we're uncontaminated. We live in the world. We think worldly thoughts. But we, our soul, our life is now in Christ Jesus. And that is perfect. And that is how God sees us when it comes to judgment. He knows that we're flesh. He knows that we make mistakes. That is not unknown to him. But what he sees us as far as judging us is holiness. Without blame before him and in love. How much love does God have?
Unlimited.
He is love. So he is the author and the finisher of all love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. To himself. So the reason that Jesus Christ came, because it was by Jesus Christ, that was his purpose, was to reconcile us back to God. That's his purpose. And he fulfilled it perfectly. According to the good pleasure of his will. God is the author of our salvation. Jesus Christ is the agent who carried out the will of God. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. Our love for Jesus Christ has to be every bit of every thought that we have because of his great love that he had for us and the great sacrifice that he made for us in reconciling us back to God the Father. That was what he was doing, that's what he intended to do, and that's exactly what he did. And he did it for us. He even said to his disciples, blessed are you that have seen what has happened, but even more blessed is those who have not seen but will believe. So that is us. We didn't see any of the things that he did. We take what is written in this book and say, yeah, that's the truth. That's faith. We are taking that which we could not see as it had transpired. The imagination and our thoughts of what we read that transpired in the pages of this book was believed as though we were there in person. That's believing. We believed it. And we are believing it. Every time we read this book, it is even more established in our hearts. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. And that should always be on our lips. We should always be giving God the glory and the thanksgiving. We are praising him for all that he's done because of his grace. Wherein he, God, hath made us accepted in the beloved. He made us accepted. We didn't make us accepted. He made us accepted. That's what he's doing right now. We know that he blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly, from the heavens. And he is causing us to have this acceptance. In whom we have redemption. And what does redemption mean?
Bought.
We were bought for. Yes. The price of our sin was paid. Not only the sin of Adam that we inherited, but also the sin of our own lives. That is the result of that sin nature. Which, by the way, we get rid of. That's still with us. I mean, that sin nature is still sown in our flesh, so to speak. It's part of the
our soul.
It's part of this that we got when we were born, but it's not uncontrollable. It's renewable. That's right. We can renew our minds, and the only thing that makes it new is our thoughts. and our thoughts change our hearts. And as we change our hearts, we become set free and walk in grace. Because not renewing our minds is simply a bondage. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Why was blood necessary?
To be washed away.
Cleansing.
Yeah. If you look at the Old Testament, everything in the Old Testament spoke about this. The sacrifices that the priest did was an example of what the Son of God was going to need to do in order to pay for the sins. Because the sacrifices of bulls and all that stuff was a temporary measure to take care of the sins, the immediate sins. It couldn't wash away the big one. When you read the word, the old man nature that we inherited from Adam, that's the sin, the singular.
Okay.
When we see sins, that's our own as a result of the big sin. None of those sacrifices could get rid of the big sin.
To restore the spirit of what?
That's right. So we needed to get those. They needed that way to get rid of their sins, but they couldn't get it rid of it by sin. The sin. They couldn't get rid of the sin, and that was not anything that we did specifically, because we didn't sin after what Romans says, after the likeness or the similitude of what Adam did. But we sure inherited it. We got the inheritance from it. But that's the one thing that couldn't be taken care of by the blood of the sacrifices on the altar. But that was what Jesus Christ did once and for all sin. Not only the sin of Adam, but all sins that we have. Because when we get judged, the judgment has already been done. All men will have to be judged. But the thing is ours is already past tense. Without Christ, all men will be judged according to their own works.
So in the Bema, we're not going to be judged? In the Bema, we're not going to be judged?
No.
It's just rewards and crowns and
well,
prizes?
That's what the word says. That's what the word says.
Okay.
Now, those rewards will be according to our life, you know, what we're doing now. That's rewards, but that isn't punishment.
So judgment is just punishment?
Judgment will be fairness. When you go into a court, you hope for that the judge, if he's fair and impartial, will give you a just sentence. Well, the judgment that God will give to the natural man will be just. But it will be based upon their life and their deeds. The thing that makes it different for us is our deeds, our life, has already been judged righteous and holy. Already. So our day in court has already happened in Christ Jesus, the day we believed. That's why we can have peace. That is where the peace comes from, is that understanding.
And that's why the blood.
Yeah, that's why the blood was needed.
Okay.
And that's how forgiveness
of sins. Well, the blood also is so we can be a spirit again, because the spirit was...
Well, the blood is what made it so that the spirit could come.
Yeah.
Because without forgiveness of sins, which is the next words, there can be no righteousness. As long as we hold that, those sins, the righteousness is not present. But because we have already been given righteousness, because of the blood and the forgiveness, we were cleansed by his blood. Some of those old Christian songs have a lot to say. Verse 8. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He hath. He's already done it. And he continues to do it. Abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. How did he do that? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. The mystery of his will. That is amazing. And that is where the power of the Holy Spirit resides. Understanding the mystery. That it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that the Gentiles can also be a part of it. Because without it, it's only a Jewish experience.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? That you and I have that? That wisdom and that prudence is what is the mystery of his will, to know that. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Mm-hmm. Nobody made him do it. Nobody convinced him of doing it. He did it. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. The dispensation of the fullness of time. Anybody know when exactly that is? No, the administration. Dispensation is another word for administration. So when that, whatever that fullness of time is, when he's going to gather together both his church and whatever the heavens have in the form of angels and spirit beings, mm-hmm. he is going to be over all of it. But whenever that is, the fullness of time. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. We are going to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. You are going to be a part of that. You're not going to be left out. You're not going to be going through the judgments. According to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now there is said a second time, after the counsel of his own will. He was the one who decided to do it. And he is the one who made it happen. And he is the one who sets the timetable. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Now, we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were what?
Sealed.
Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. There's several ancient ways that seals were made, but they were always made so that it would be obvious if it was ever broken. And it carried authority by the person who had his seal put on that. They did it by usually wax, and then they would use some kind of imprint. Sometimes it was the character of the ring that they would use. But it indicated the power and authority of the person putting the seal on. Well, whose seal was placed on your life?
God.
God made that seal. And there's not a preacher in the world that can change that.
Right.
You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Earnest is a down payment. Which is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We have like a down payment of all the blessings that's going to come. All that's going to come. That's where I talked about what God is, will do for us. Because we have been given only a down payment. As great as the Holy Spirit is in our life today, it is just a down payment, a token. All the manifestations of Holy Spirit that we have It's a token of the inheritance that we will have been and will be given once we are redeemed totally.
The gathering together.
When our bodies are changed.
Yay.
Because that's when all the blessings can happen. As long as we have this mortal existence, all the blessings can't be there. But once we have the new body, wow.
Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I love it. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. That's how a fellowship should be, isn't it? Loving the Lord Jesus and love of the saints. We believe in all that the Lord Jesus has done, all the access that he has given to the Father, the gift of Holy Spirit, the gift ministries as it's given to the church through Jesus Christ, and love unto all the saints. That should be every fellowship. Verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers.
We pray every day.
Every day, several times a day sometimes. We would pray for you guys.
Three times a day, for sure.
So, but that's our joy. I mean, that's what we are not doing it for fear. Oh yeah, well, we're not there. We got to pray for these guys. You know, they can't live without us. You know.
God have mercy.
No, that isn't why we were praying. We were praying because we were so blessed to be a part of this family. And we were lifting up needs that we knew about. Verse 18: the eyes of your understanding being enlightened.
Did you miss 17?
Did I miss 17? Oh, that's a good one. I can't miss that one. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Mm-hmm. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wow. You can't have that without walking by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Without operating the manifestations, you can't know any of that. So the Christian church has been poo-pooing that for generations. You don't need to speak in tongues anymore. That went out with the apostles, you know. You don't need to have any of these. Well, if that went out with the apostles, that means you don't have any wisdom, because that was part of the manifestations. You don't have any knowledge. That went out with the manifestations. No. There are nine manifestations, and we walk by them. We walk by the Spirit. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Well, how do we get it enlightened? By walking by the Spirit. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling. We stand every day on hope. We stand every day on hope. It is a foundation for us. Every day. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. All that God has in store for us is his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Well, how mighty powerful is God?
Immeasurable.
So if we have a need in our life, how much does God have to exert an effort to do take care of that?
Nothing.
It's nothing to him. He created the heavens and the earth. You think he can take care of a need? Absolutely. The woman who had the issue of blood, remember?
Mm-hmm.
She had it for years.
Mm-hmm.
Years and years and years. She was probably bleeding when she was in the crowd.
Shouldn't have been there.
And she said she heard that he could be, by the touch, that she could be healed. That all the healings that he had done, she had heard of that only. Doesn't say that she ever heard him say a word. But she believed that if she just touched the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. That's all it took. When she touched, it got healed. So believing is not difficult. It is very, very simple. Very simple. It's just where you change your mind from doubt to faith. This is the truth. This is the truth. God heals. That is the truth.
He's doing the healing. You're just there with faith.
You're there with faith.
He's
just like that. Just like the lady that touched the hem of his garment. She didn't do anything except believe and act on it. If she had stayed in the crowd and watched him walk by with need in her life, she would not have gotten healed. She acted as, that is my healing. That is what I need to do. And she got it. Which he wrought in Christ. What's the wrought in Christ? The working was his mighty power. He did that when he wrought that power in Christ. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. But that was God doing that. God raised him from the dead. God caused him to rise up and be seated in the heavenlies. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Yeah. Well, that takes care of everything, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
From that point forward, Christ is the head of it all and above all. He's not the head of the devil spirit world, but he sure has got his feet on it, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's above it. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus Christ is plenty busy. He's plenty busy being the head of the church. This is not a time of going to Florida and relaxing. He's not on vacation. He's not patiently waiting in the wings for his day at the gathering together. He is the head of the church right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we are very thankful that he is. So I thought I'd share with you that chapter.
You can never have too much of that chapter.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Father, thanks for your love, your tremendous blessing in our lives. Thanks for making us more and more clearly aware of all that, so that we can walk in boldness and grace and great peace in our hearts, so that we can know that you are filling our lives every day with your grace, your mercy, and your peace. So thanks, Father, most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, that through him you were able to accomplish all these things. And if he had stumbled even one time in his believing, we wouldn't have any of it. So we are grateful and thankful for his life. And thanks for giving him all that power and authority over all things. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, and we better thank God for the food.